As Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he is writing to a church that has a lot of heresy in it. And so in the letter, he deals with a lot of that heresy. One of the things that he has to deal with is the supremacy of Christ. They were not recognizing that. Some of those have been converted out of Judaism. We're still going back and keeping a lot of the old days, the feast days that were under the old law. They were questioning the divinity of Jesus. And so Paul writes to them about these things, trying to correct it, trying to straighten out, trying to teach them what they really need to be believing in and practicing and things they need to be doing. And in the process, as he writes to them, William Barclay made a statement. He says it was the most unimportant town to which Paul ever wrote a letter, politically. But he writes something very significant. And as he writes to them, he says something that was not intended, most likely, for the way we want to use it this evening. But as he writes this, he gives us some insights into how to reach out to other people, how to expand the kingdom. Because that's what Paul is talking about. He's talking here about the kingdom. And Colossians, the first chapter, verse 13, he talks about being translated out of darkness in the kingdom of his dear Son. Talks about Christ being the head of the church, the body, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, Colossians 1:18. So he is writing about this kingdom, and as he does, he says some things to them to help him and to help them and thus help the kingdom. So if you have your Bibles, get them out. Let's look at Colossians chapter 4. And there's about three or four verses here, verse 2 down through verse 6, in which Paul gives us some very strong points of emphasis of how you and I need to help expand the kingdom. We can't do it by ourselves, but there is a way that we can help. So let's look at them. He says them very tersely and very, very to the point. The first point he makes, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it. If the kingdom is going to grow, and if we're going to help the kingdom grow, then you and I need to be prayer partners with each other. And we need to be in partnership with Christ and with the Holy Spirit and with the Father. Back in 1 Corinthians 10th chapter, he talks about our being fellow workers with God. If we're going to be effective, we need to devote ourselves to prayer. Understanding that many times what we anticipate happening may not happen. But what we anticipate happening may be even surpassed by God, who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So when we pray, we say to God, God, help us to be in submission to you. God, help us to do what you want us to do. God, help us to accept your leadership. Because see, most of the time in our approach, in our prayers, we go to God with our agenda, don't we? We go to God with our minds already made up about what we want to see happen in our lives personally, what we want to see happen in the congregation, what we want to see happen in the community, what we want to see happen politically, what we want to see happen in the world. And it doesn't work that way. Now, we may say, God, I'd like to see this happen, but primarily, God, help me to accept whatever you want, but God, you do what you see is best in this situation. Here's the situation I'm concerned about. But God, now you take it. I trust you to do what's right here. It says, we pray, be open. Devote yourselves to prayer. That means you stick to it. Don't do it spasmodically. Don't do it hit and miss. Do it on a regular basis. Devote yourselves to prayer. Then the second thing that he says, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ for which I have also been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way that I ought to speak. Don't you find it interesting, knowing where Paul is when he writes this, in prison in Rome, that he doesn't ask for them to pray that he be released from prison. That's not on his agenda. He does not ask that he get a fair trial or he be found innocent. That's not what he asked for. What he asked for is that God would open the door to us so that we could preach the word. He says, I want you to pray that the very thing that got me put in here will continue. I'm in here because I've been preaching the word. Now, I want you to pray that I'll be able to continue preaching that word. Pray for others. I know Brad and I both feel very strongly and very passionately that whenever we say we appreciate what you do for us in praying for us, and we know that many of you do, when we get a card or we get a letter or we get an email or Brad gets a text, I don't get text. And those of you who know me know why. And there's nothing wrong with texting for those of you that are visiting. Okay, I just want to clarify that for visitors. It's not a sin to text, but it's right there close to it, okay? But I just don't get text. I don't text. But we appreciate that. We appreciate knowing that people throughout the week are praying for us, that we'll be effective when we go to visit somebody or we sit down with the Bible and try to study with somebody. To know that you are joining in prayer with us throughout the week, that is so, so encouraging. That's what Paul is asking for here. He says, pray for us, that we'll be able to do the very thing that got us in trouble in the first place. So the first thing is, pray for yourself. The second thing is, pray for others that are involved in expanding the kingdom. And then the third thing, verse 5, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. Have you ever noticed or have you ever listened to yourself when you talk about your behavior and you say, when you're around other Christians, I've got to be very careful. And I got to watch my words because I'm around the preacher, I'm around the elders, I'm around the deacons, I'm around other Christians. We're very cautious in what we say when we're with each other. But then when we're not with each other, we're out there with people in the world, we kind of let our hair down and we say and do things that we really shouldn't do. And we know we shouldn't do them. And we know we shouldn't say them. We know they're not Christ-like. Church, that is the place we need to be the most cautious. Because you and I, when we go out into the world, we are representing Christ. We studied Wednesday night. We're ambassadors for Christ. We are His representatives out in the world. And the world is judging God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, by you and by me. A lot of people are turned off of Christ because of His brothers and sisters, us. And that's why Paul says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. Be careful about your choice of words, your choice of activities, your choice of conduct. On the job, you have a tremendous opportunity to expand the kingdom there. In the community, you have a tremendous opportunity because people are watching you, and if you represent Christ the way Christ deserves to be represented by you who have been saved from your sins, then you're going to be a powerful tool in God's hand. But if you get careless and you do things and say things and entertain yourselves in an unchristlike way, people are going to find another excuse to be turned off of God. They're going to find another reason to say, that's why I'm not a Christian. If that's what God can do for somebody, then I don't want anything to do with them. And that's what God's people are like. I don't want anything to do with him. That's why Paul says, conduct yourselves with wisdom. Wisdom remembers the application of knowledge. We know the truth, but let's apply it as we represent Christ to the world. Then he continues, making the most of the opportunity. Well, let me just throw a couple of these in too. I forgot about this. These are two verses we often talk about as we try to manage our conduct. Two verses. One is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Pray, God, help me to do what pleases you. And the other is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him to God the Father. Does this please God in my conduct? Can I thank God for how I've just behaved, what I've just said, how I've just treated that person? Conduct yourself with wisdom. And then make the most of the opportunity. You've prayed that God will bring an opportunity to you. And you've prayed that for others, that they will have the opportunity to take that gospel to somebody else. And now God's going to give you opportunity, and he will. If you're really serious about expanding the kingdom, you start praying and you will see opportunity after opportunity after opportunity come your way to share your faith, to give you the opportunity to expand the kingdom by one more soul. Take advantage of that opportunity and use it wisely. Conduct yourselves wisely with wisdom for those that are outsiders, making most of every opportunity. Sometimes we have not done that. Probably a lot of times we have not done that. God's presented us the opportunity. The door has been open. We either haven't been prepared to enter the door, or we haven't had the boldness to enter the door. Because God's going to give it to you. He's going to open doors. And you're going to see more than you can handle when you really get serious about it and you really start praying about it. And then he says, let your speech be always with grace, as though it's seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. Wow. Most of the damage that has been done in the past is because we have failed to allow this to control our speech patterns. Let your speech be always with grace. Let it be kindly. We have, in the past, been very mean-spirited at times. We have tried to intimidate people. We have assassinated people's character. Anything to do that we need to do to win a religious argument. And you've heard me say it before, and I'm going to keep on saying it. You may win an argument, but you lost a soul. Oh, you showed why you felt you were right. You quoted the scriptures and you showed them exactly what the Bible said, but you said it in a way that you destroyed any opportunity to reach that person in the future. You closed the door. You won the argument, but you lost a soul. I remember my early days, that's how I handled personal work. I was out to win the argument. And I can think of three people right now that are lost because I won the argument. But I won in an unchristlike way. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Salt creates thirst. I need to say things in such a way that I make that person thirsty for what I have to say to them. I make them thirsty for my lifestyle. I'm going to conduct my life in such a way, my whole demeanor is going to be about impressing that person with the fact that Christ is in charge of my life. I want them to be thirsty for what I have. Now, as you look over your behavior this past week, have you created a thirst in somebody's life for what you have, by the way you talk, by the way you acted, by the way you treated them? Did somebody get to know Christ better this last week because of the way you conducted your life? Or did you build a barrier and you made it harder for a person to see Christ by the way you conduct yourself? Maybe it was in a religious discussion and you won the discussion. But did you win the soul, or did you build a barrier there that caused that soul to be lost? Unless somebody else comes along and helps that individual see what a Christian really should be and what Christ really is, what he really does. So let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Then going back to verse 2. For the sixth one. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. A lot of times we say, God, lead me to some soul. Help me to teach that individual. And he does. But do we go back and say, God, thank you. Thank you for helping me. I don't know how many of you remember the old field reports that used to be in the Brotherhood periodicals. The field reports were reports from the field by preachers that had gone out, and they may have conducted several meetings, and they list where they preached and the number they preached and how many people were baptized, how many people were restored during that meeting. Remember those? I do. But very few do I remember saying, we thank God that he did this through us. We thank God that God used us this way this past week or this past month. Folks, growth here, we've enjoyed some good growth. It's not because of our elders. It's not because of Brad and me. It's not because of our deacons. It's not because of any of us as individuals. It's because God is using us as a church, as a body of believers, to reach out to other people. And because of that, folks, we need to thank God for every growth spurt that we have, every individual that's baptized into Christ, every person that's restored. It's not because of our effectiveness. It's because of the gospel's effectiveness. Because of the word's effectiveness. Because God designed it that way. So we need to thank Him. And so, how do we expand the kingdom? Paul gives us 6 great pointers here. Let's don't forget them. First of all, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it. Secondly, praying at the same time for us as well. Pray for others as well as yourself. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, so you will know how you ought to answer every man. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it, with an attitude of thanksgiving. I can see a lot of good things on the horizon. I'm excited. I'm tremendously excited about what God has apparently in store for this congregation. I'm excited about the enthusiasm that we have as a body. But can you imagine the intense enthusiasm we could have if we would all capture the vision that Paul gives us here and then go about fulfilling that vision the way that Paul said to do it? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the vision that Paul has given us. We thank you for the way that he said to carry that out. And Father, we thank you for helping us to this point. And Father, we always know there's room for improvement. So help us to look into our individual lives and to see how we can, as individuals, improve and then to make those improvements. Father, help us to indeed trust you and help us to operate on your time schedule. And Father, help us realize that you work behind the scenes and you do things even when we don't see them. Father, help us just see that our responsibility is simply to plant the seed and to water it and to trust you for the results and then give you thanks and the glory for that and the praise for that. And Father, we pray that you help us to truly be pure instruments, instruments that don't get in the way, instruments that are not dull, but instruments, Father, that are used by you in a sharp way, in an effective way. Father, thank you for the truth. Thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your patience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This evening, as we have looked at a very simple lesson on expanding the kingdom, hopefully we have each done some introspection. And we have seen in that introspection, which means inspection of our lives, we see that there's things there that are getting in the way of the kingdom being expanded. An attitude, a word, an example. And we need to repent of that. We hope tonight you'll do that. Or if you're not a Christian, not a part of the kingdom. And tonight, if you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and if you're willing to repent of your sins and to be baptized into that body, into that kingdom, to experience that new birth, we are here to assist you. We'll be glad to do that. Or tonight, if you simply want our prayers for something you're going through or a decision you're trying to make, we'll be glad to pray with you. So whatever your need is, let us know what it is. Ask together. We stand and sing by coming.